Today we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And the subject is the work life of the Spirit-filled believer. And when we think about work, sometimes we feel like working can be a curse. But when God created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, what did he tell Adam to do? He told Adam to dress it and to keep it. So Adam had work to do in the Garden of Eden before he fell in sin. And that work was not a burden to him. Rather, it was a joy to him, and it was rewarding to him. And today, the Lord commands in the Word of God that we are to work with our hands. Whatsoever we find to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, and do what we do with all of our might, says Ecclesiastes. Now, in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, Paul continues his instructions to families. We first looked at the inner life of the Spirit-filled believer in verses 18 through 20, where we are taught to be filled with the Spirit and not to be drunken with wine, wherein is excess. Then he teaches us about the married life of the Spirit-filled believer, how that God ordained one man for one woman in holy matrimony. And then we saw last Sunday how that the Spirit-filled husband and wife are to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How that children are to obey their parents, and that parents are not to provoke their children to wrath. And so we find today, in verses 5 through 9, Paul teaches us about the relationship between servants and masters. Servants and masters. And let's read it. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master, capital M, also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of prayer and worship. We realize, O Lord, that we can't engage in true worship unless we have first prayed for that worship. And now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us in your word just now, that everything that is said would be from you and not from me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seems like we live in a society today that feels entitled. Many folks today feel like the government owes them a living, and they want to stay at home and just draw a check from the government. But that's not what God's Word would have us to do. The Bible says that we are to work and provide for our own. Now we know that there's been so many jobs lost during the pandemic. And there's so many out there who want to work and not able to get jobs. But yet the Bible teaches us that we're to work with our own hands. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that point today, but I want to look more at the relationship between servant and master, and between employee and employer as we look at this. Now, when Paul wrote these words, remember, it was during the time that the Roman Empire was ruling the world, and there were many who were in servitude to the Romans. But I don't want to dwell on that either. What I want to dwell on is how we are the servants of Jesus Christ and servants one toward another. Now he says first in verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. When we are working in our public life, or even in our private life, all that we do is to be done as unto the Lord. Paul wrote Ephesians at the same time that he wrote Colossians. And in Colossians 3:17, he says this, "And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And whatsoever our hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so we find when we are working for an employer or another person that we are to give 100% of our effort in our job. And it's to be done well and to be done with a singleness of heart, with a focus, and thanking the Lord for it as unto the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who gives us the ability to work and do those things pleasing to Him and to be able to provide for our families. Remember, this series here is about the inner life and the Spirit-filled life of our families. And the Bible teaches that we are to provide for our families. And the Lord is the one that makes the provision. But yet, that provision comes through His blessing in our lives, giving us the ability and the opportunity to work and to earn a living. So we are to do those things that are well-pleasing unto the Lord as we fulfill our work responsibilities in our job. Do it with singleness of heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. And then Paul says in verse number 6, don't do your service simply with eye service as men pleasers, but rather as the servants of Christ, the servants of Jesus Christ, doing the will of God from our heart. Whatever we do, whether it's in our work life in the world, or even more than that, when we're helping others in the community, it is to be done as unto the Lord and not unto men, and not to be seen by men, or not to please men, but rather to please God. For He is the one who looks upon our heart and upon our life. He is the one to whom we are to strive to be obedient. And we also know that sometimes when people have a job, that they might get slack when their employer is not watching them. And so we know sometimes that may happen. But we are to be just as diligent in our work, whether the employer is watching over us or not. But more than that, we work for the Lord and His service. And guess what? His eye is always watching you and me, isn't He? There's an all-seeing eye watching over you and watching over me. We have a hymn that says that. Watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Now that can give us comfort when we are going through trial and tribulation, because we know God is watching over us, caring for us and protecting us. But He also sees and watches when we're disobedient to Him and when we go astray. And that should remind us to be fearful of Him, because He does exercise discipline in our lives. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday from Hebrews chapter 12. How He chastens every son whom He receives. So the Lord always sees what we're doing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But remember that even in your secular job, even though your secular employer may not be watching you physically, the Lord is watching what we're doing. And He knows when we're doing our best and when we're not doing our best. We also have a hymn entitled, Our Best. We're to give our best to the Master. And we are to do that which is our best. Not as being men pleasers, but as the servants of Jesus Christ. And then He says in verse 7, do it with good will. Our motive is to be good. Sometimes we do something because it's out of an obligation, right? Saying, you have to do it, you have to. But we don't want to do our work simply out of an obligation, but out of a good will, because we love the Lord and we want to please Him. Now we know sometimes people have a job that they don't like. They might even have an employer that they don't particularly like. But regardless of that, we are to do our best and do it with good will and with good intentions, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Regardless of who we are, whether we be bond or free, regardless of our station in life, whether we be rich or poor, it matters not. Regardless of that, when we are doing what is right and doing what is good with good intentions, the Lord will bless us and reward us for it. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here is Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. And in the first several verses in Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus teaching us about doing good works, helping others. And even when we're working in secular jobs, it is our purpose to help others. So Jesus says, beginning in Matthew 6 and 1, take heed that you do not your alms, and that word means good deeds, before men, to be seen of them, to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, we know that heaven is not a reward. Heaven is an inheritance. But the Lord blesses us with blessings and rewards in this life. So he goes on to say in verse 2, therefore, when you do your alms or good deeds, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and the streets, as they that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's the praise of men. But when you do your alms, your good deeds, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Do it in secret, in other words. And then he says in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. Openly. And so we find the Lord teaching us that we are to do whatever the Lord gives us to do, whether it be in our secular jobs or helping those in the community. It is to be done with goodwill and to the Lord and not unto men. And when we do things that way, we will receive the blessing of the Lord regardless of our station in life. Then he says in verse 9, he also has a word to masters and employers. You do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Sometimes people have overbearing employers. But we are to remember, and they are to remember, that we all have one master in heaven. And he is our Father in heaven. And there's no respect of persons with the Lord. The Lord does not look at any of us any differently, whether we be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or whether we be working in any job. He makes no difference among people. We're all the same in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. There is no respect of persons with the Lord. Now, in the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, I just want to read this parallel passage, and then I want to make some applications in Romans chapter 6 after that. But in Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22 through 4:1, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. The same words as in Ephesians. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Why? For you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever we do, whether it be in a secular job or in working in God's kingdom, all of it is a part of what the Lord would have us to do in His service. And we are actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He also says in verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he's done. There's no respect of persons, you see. He says, masters, in Colossians 4:1, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. A master in heaven. Jesus when He instituted the Lord's Supper in John chapter 13 said this, "You call Me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." And Jesus taught His disciples, remember what Jesus did. He gave us an example of servanthood. Of servanthood. Jesus stooped down and washed the disciples' feet. And He said, we ought to do the same. So we are His servants. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but rather to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That is, He did not come to be served. Jesus came to serve, to be a servant to His children, and to give His life to save us from our sin. Now, I want to make an application in Romans chapter 6. Let us turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is emphasizing, again, that we are to live in the Spirit and not walk after the flesh. And then, beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 6, 14, Paul says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We're no longer under the dominion of sin, because Jesus broke the power of sin when He died for our sins on Calvary's cross. He asked the question then in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Not at all. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, and here's the word, servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Well, there's only two masters that we can serve. And we're either serving our heavenly master or we are serving the sinful lust of our own depraved carnal nature. And so, regardless of what we do in life, as an employee to an employer, or serving Christ in His kingdom, we're either serving Him with good will, good intentions in the Spirit, or we are serving the lust of our own sinful desire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or love one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus said. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. Whatever we do is to be done as unto the Lord. But then what did Paul say in verse 17 of Romans chapter 6? He said, but God be thanked that you were, past tense, the servants of sin, the slaves to sin. That word servant comes from the Greek word that means a slave. At one time we were slaves of sin, but we're no longer slaves to sin. The Holy Spirit has worked effectually in your heart and mind. And now we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto us, first by the imputation of Christ's righteousness in the new birth, and then as the gospel is preached and received in the born-again child of God. Being then made free from sin, we now have become the servants of righteousness. That is, whatever we are to do now is to be done with goodwill and to be done rightly and justly and in the right way. Because we know that we are serving Him. He is our master. We are His servants. Paul says in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmities of your flesh. As you therefore yielded your members, servants to uncleanness at one time in our lives, even so now, yield your members, your whole body, soul, and spirit, yield yourself as servants to righteousness, that it might be to holiness, or that which is right, that which is separated from evil. What profit did we have when we were the slaves to sin? We had no profit in that. It only leads to death. And there's no fruit in those things. He says in 21, what fruit did you have in those things whereof you're now ashamed? There's no fruit in those things at all. The end of those things is only death. Only death. But, love the connecting buts in the Word of God, the contrast. But now, being made free from sin, we're no longer shackled. We're no longer the slaves to sin. We are now servants to God. Lord, make me your servant. And we have our fruit to holiness, to the Lord. And then the end of it is life everlasting. The contrast is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so when we think about the work life of the Spirit-filled believer, we are so reminded that whatever our hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Remember, Paul, when he wrote his letters in the New Testament, when he began each letter, he began by saying that I am the servant of Jesus Christ. For example, in Philippians 1, he said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. And he always said that we are to do those things that are well pleasing to our Master. And so we find that's the way we are to be. So when we look at this today, please remember, the Lord sees everything we do. So let's do it well. Let's do it good, as unto the Lord and not unto men. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.